talked about Grogu, Baby Yoda, like, in my opinion, one of the biggest kept secrets in all of cinema.
Yeah.
What was that like keeping that a secret from, you know, your family, friends?
Steven Spielberg was like, after the first rehearsal, was like, hey man, I need you, that was an R-rated scream. I need you to give me a PG-rated scream.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Vader's Order podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Omid Abtahi, and you may know him in a few roles. Fear the Walking Dead, The Hunger Games, and of course what we all know him as, Dr. Pershing in The Mandalorian. How are you today, Omid?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, yeah. You know, we met last month, but we're here now.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I correct you on my pronunciation of my name?
Yeah.
Is that so just it helps people out there? It's Omid. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a long E. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all very right. Common. You're phonetically correct, but I like to correct the people I like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're here with Omid Abtahi.
So. There you go. Yeah.
So I want to take it like, you know, just a little step backwards here. Where did Star Wars begin for you? Was this something that you grew up with? Was it part of your childhood? Or did you get into it, you know, later on in life with your acting career?
Yeah, I mean, I would say most definitely later on in life. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was the type that could hardly sit through a movie. I wanted to play outside, play sports. And I remember my first exposure with Star Wars was certainly not my parents. they didn't even know what that was. But it was during like daycare. I would come in, wash my hands, and then they would have to play Star Wars. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I would see the hologram scene with Princess Leia. And I was like, Whoa, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
But then I would run out and play soccer. So I didn't know Star Wars too well until I got the offer to join The Mandalorian several years ago. And it was once I got the offer, I sat and I basically binged through the entire catalog of all the movies and familiarized myself that way. But I got to say, I even upped it another level in my knowledge of the universe. With just having a son who is madly in love with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And my, you know, bedtime stories for him needed to be detail orientated, you know? Yeah. And so I had to really, really learn about the world that way. So
yeah.
It's more because of him than anything.
I mean, you got to be on set with him.
I did. Yeah.
What was that like for you? I mean, that must have been honestly magical. I mean,
It was one of the best days of my life. I mean, like, you know, I don't know if it's going to be one of the best of his life, but for me to have my son be able to come to set and not just watch me act, but to actually be in the scene and understand what his dad does, you know, for a living, it was just really cool to be able to share that with him. And at the end of the day, like, I mean, he got VIP treatment. He got to see baby Grogu come to life. He got to shake hands with baby Grogu. He got to see all the different costumes and the sets and the, you know, behind the sets. But at the end of the day, when I asked him, I was like, so Miles is the name. I was like, what was your favorite part? He's like, Daddy, the chocolate croissants were amazing. And I'm like, of course, it's always the food.
I mean, you know, he got a VIP treatment, you know, you can't.
He did. Well, those chocolate croissants are pretty amazing. So I can't fault him. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Does he come up to you now? Because, I mean, he saw you wear the costume and everything. I mean, you know, his dad's in Star Wars. Does he ever come up to you now, even a year later, and bring it up ever?
We have one of those like those the Star Wars encyclopedia books.
Oh,
and he goes, Daddy, that's you. Like every once in a while, you know. I think in the early days, he assumed that everybody's dad was in Star Wars. I think he's, as he gets older, he's appreciating that's not the case. Yeah.
Well, I love the tweet you put out because literally, I mean, what you wrote, it's like, you know, he's like, Dad, like Coruscant is real. And I, you know, that like, it's magical. Like this franchise, it's like, you know, it's like what you said. It's like this franchise, it doesn't matter what the age, like they, you know, they're introduced it to you at, like, it's magical and it gives like a beautiful feel.
Oh, yeah. No, it made me, you know, so teary-eyed. It was such a wonderful moment. And it was all with the lights off. So, like, I couldn't really see his face, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it was, I mean, always, that's a forever memory for sure.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, going back to what you were mentioning about, you know, how you got, you know, let's talk about how you got the role. Like, what was that process like? Did you have to audition to get Dr. Pershing? Like, what was that like?
So, it's actually, no, I did not audition. It was...
Wow.
It was a gift from the universe. It was, I was in Toronto shooting a show called American Gods.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday night, 1 in the morning, and I was fast asleep. I go to bed like at 10 p.m. And so I get this call from my agent at 1 a.m. And I'm like, whoa, this is weird. This is like either really good news or really bad news. And, you know, and me being an insecure actor, as most of us are, I was like, oh shoot, I'm getting fired off American Gods. That was my first thought. And so I answered it completely like half asleep, more than half asleep. And my agent's like, I'm like, hello? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. Untitled Jon Favreau project, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yo, I can't even understand what you're saying. Like, can you like say it one more time? He's like, blah, 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 blah. Untitled Jon Favreau project, blah, 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 blah. I just was so, I was not awake. And I was like Googling it with one eye open. And I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, wait, is it? I was like, is this untitled Star Wars show for like, you know, the Disney streaming platform that hadn't come out yet? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, they want me to audition for it? He's like, no, they're offering it to you. And I was like, yo, I'm for sure I'm dreaming. This like can't, this doesn't make sense. This is not real. I'm like, I've only been offered something like maybe under 5 times in my career. So why this would all of a sudden be one of them, I have no idea. So I was like, let's hang up, call me in the morning just so I can make sure that this is actually real. And you know, and it turned out he called me in the morning and it was real. And one of the greatest gifts that I've ever received in my life. It's been, I mean, I'm without words when I explain how awesome it is to be get to be part of the Star Wars universe.
I mean, that's incredibly rare for an actor. And like, that's just an honor.
It is, yeah.
What was the process like after that? Now, after you got the call, you're in basically. What did you have to do after that? Did you have to go, drive over to the Lucasfilm headquarters or fly over?
Yeah, I mean, the best I remember it, like I never was given a script. It was like, do you want to do it or don't you? I'm like, I don't care. Like, absolutely, I want to do it. And so I had to, well, actually, what's funny, on the episode of American Gods that we were filming at that time, Deborah Chow was the director.
Oh, no kidding.
And she was going to direct the second episode of Mandalorian season 1. And so I was like, yo, hey, Deborah. The next day I was like, hey, Deborah, like, did you put in a call for me or something? She's like, what are you talking about? No. I was like, I just got offered a part on the Mandalorian. And she's like, no way. And so it's just a complete freak coincidence, right?
Oh, that's so cool.
Unless she really did put in a word for me, I don't know. But to answer your question, yeah, I went in to my costume fitting like a month later after I got back to LA. And I came, they're like, oh, okay, so let's fit you. And I saw like the prototype, like drawing of my character, you know, can you see here? And they had my face on a drawing. And I was in an Imperial outfit with some kind of goggles on. And they're like, oh, are you excited? I'm like, I don't know what I'm playing. I don't know who I'm playing. They're like, oh, you're gonna love it. I'm like, well, can you tell me? They're like, no, we can't tell you. So I had no idea what I was doing until much later in the process, closer to filming, that they actually sent me just my sides, just my lines. You know, like I had no idea what the show was about. So I came in one day, I saw Deborah, I met John. They gave me a tour of like the volume and the LED, and they're like, do you want to meet your co-star? I was like, sure, expecting a human being, and they pull out this violin looking case and bust out, you know, a baby Yoda at that time. And they're like, this is your co-star. And I'm like, how cool is all this? So yeah, like I be honest with you, like I didn't know a whole lot about it going into the first season. And coming out of the first season, I still didn't know a whole lot about it. Like I remember being on the red carpet at the premiere. They're like, so what can we expect from the season? I was like, I have no idea. Like I literally was just given just my lines, you know? But yeah, so that's a big chunk of the experience of being on a show like that is having no clue what goes on beyond your immediate like.
I mean, what they did with the promotions for The Mandalorian season 1 was so top secret, because obviously, like, we know that like all the reveals that we got, none of the trail was in none of the trailers, and it was like the biggest secret ever. But so you talk about, your costuming, and like, what was that like, that first day you're on set, like the very first day, you're putting on the Imperial costume. By then, you probably watched a little bit of Star Wars, or you're more aware of it then, and you have the you know, the makeup artist, the hairstylist, like, did it hit you at all? Like, wow, like, I'm actually in Star Wars?
That's a really good question. It didn't hit me like that, like the way you're saying, until between one of the takes in the bunker scene with Werner Herzog. They were changing the camera position. And so the stormtroopers took their helmets off and they sat down. And they were starting to talk about like their daughter's like birthday party and this and that. And I was like, well, they're like, oh, Jim, are you going to invite your so-and-so classmates? They're like, yeah, you know, we got to. And I was like, oh, and they're sitting in their stormtrooper outfits. And I'm like, oh, crap. I'm, you know, this is it. You know, I'm in Star Wars. You know, I made it. So it wasn't until that moment the specialness of just the entire experience like really hit me hard.
Of course. And of course, you know, of course, with your son as well. I mean, I'm sure that changed your relationship with Star Wars as well, I'm assuming, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It only deepened it, strengthened it. And it's been a joy. The whole experience has been amazing. Yeah.
Of course. Now, speaking of Werner Herzog, I heard a wild rumor that there was something about like a tennis ball or something like that. Who's the tennis ball? What was that like?
So basically, in the early days, you know, they had the animatronic.
Yeah.
And so we did one scene with the animatronic, you know, like, oh, like here's you know, Baby Yoda at the time before he was named Grogu, or here's the child, and you know, oh wow, he looks very healthy, you know, let's go away and do some experiments on him. So we did one take with the animatronic, and then they're like, okay, now let's use a tennis ball instead, and that's your eye line. So in case we decide to use CGI as opposed to the animatronic, and it took the magic out of that scene for, I think as actors, you're like, there's a massive difference between that animatronic and a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And thankfully, and this is, I don't remember hearing this, but like Werner called them cowards for even having that option. And then you never saw that tennis ball again.
Yeah. Oh, and, if he calls you cowards, that's it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's a very intimidating human being.
I mean, so obviously, like we talked about, Grogu, Baby Yoda, like was probably, in my opinion, one of the biggest kept secrets in all of cinema. I mean, it was like a huge deal considering the role he had in season 1, 2, 3, and now a future film.
Yeah.
What was that like keeping that a secret from, you know, your family, friends, like everyone around you? Like,
it's probably one of the hardest parts of the job.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you know that you're going to be in this show and you're going to be working on Star Wars, the first thing you want to do is tell everybody you know.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. And so you have to sit on that. You have to go film it. Obviously, my wife knows, you know, because I have her help me run my lines and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
I just didn't expect it to hit as hard as it did.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know it was going to be such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Yeah. Like, what was the question again? Sorry.
Keeping it a secret, like how hard
it was.
Oh, keep
it a secret. Yeah, yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah, it just sucks how long it takes for things to come out so you can be able to talk about it. So if they gift you with an appearance in the trailer, it's like this, you know, sigh of relief. And you're like, finally, I can tell people.
You can talk a little bit about it.
Season 3 or season 2 or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, many fans might not know this, but you were actually in Star Wars before. You were you did voice act in the Clone Wars as, I might butcher his name, Cadet Amos, if I'm not mistaken. Amos. And you voice, like, what was the difference between voice acting and now actually, you know, being in live action? Not just Star Wars, but just like, you know, in acting in general. What would you say are the biggest differences?
I mean, the biggest differences for me just in voice work in general, as opposed to like live action, is you can, on live action, you can tell so much story with just your eyes and your physicality.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to like lean in on the lines, you know? But in voice work, a lot of the heavy lifting is by those lines. And those lines tend to need to be elevated, right? Yeah. To tell the story.
Yeah.
And so often you go into these like, these voiceover jobs not knowing what your character looks like, not knowing what the settings look like. And you're kind of at the mercy of, you hopefully have a good voice director, which we did, that kind of describes the environment you're in.
Yeah.
But what was weird about the, you know, Clone Wars is like when I got the audition, it was like 15-year-old British kid. He loves to eat. He's chubby. And so, you know, I came up with this voice. I was like, you know, I'm a bit hungry. I want to eat. No, I don't want to go. Come on. It's fine. You know, that's what I was doing. And then when I saw the actual like show, I was like, this guy's like well built. He looks like a football player. It confused the crap out of me. I was like, I would have given him a different voice. He could have still liked food. More stomach.
I mean, that must be funny though, because like, you know, like for you, like you probably didn't even have to like study much about Star Wars, right? For that.
For that one, I didn't know Star Wars at all. They were like, I remember they wanted a couple Wookiee sounds, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like can anybody do a Wookiee sound? And I don't know who raised their hand, but like, Omid, can you do a Wookiee sound? I was like, I'm not quite sure like what the sound is. And I mean, I just wasn't as well versed as I am now.
Yeah.
But what was special about that particular voice job, because normally you're just in the booth by yourself, just doing your lines. Mm-hmm. That one was like 8 people in a room and it felt like a table read. Yeah. It was all with all the other actors.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which I only think elevates performance.
Yeah. Because you can like build off each other and everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, I bet like for you during COVID, like, I mean, did you have any voiceover jobs during COVID?
I did. I worked on this show called Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Right.
And I did it from the confines of my closet with my crappy mic. I'm not one of these pro like voice, like your setup is okay, 10 times better than mine. Yeah. I'm literally like, and during one of the takes, my blanket that I was using to like drown out sound fell on top of me while I was performing for them. But that was my COVID experience, and I'm so glad it's behind us.
Yeah, of course.
And it was not fun.
And the strike as well. I mean, which was recent.
Strike was, it's brutal, man. It was pre-strike and post-strike. The landscape of Hollywood is very different.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Yeah.
No, totally. So going back to like, you know, just overall about voice acting, one thing you mentioned is that you can really interact, you can rely on using your facial expressions more and, you know, rather than, you know, what the lines are actually saying.
Yeah.
How hard was it speaking with somebody who's wearing a helmet, like, you know, Din Djarin, who's.
Oh yeah. it's kind of hard. It is hard because you have to really listen.
Yeah.
I remember when he came in there to. I think it was Latif for that one. They came in there to rescue Grogu from the experiment in the season one. I remember he busts in there. He's like, hum, 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 hum. And I was like, please don't. I was protecting him. Please. Like, hum, 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 hum. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm making fun of myself. but it is muffled and it is hard to hear him. But your job as an actor is to, you know.
Of course,
You can't let that get to you. That's not an obstacle.
So he sounded like the phone call you got at 1 a.m. basically.
It kind of did. I mean, he was a little bit more clear. Yeah.
Right. Now, one of the biggest things, obviously, so that was obviously in season one, and then season two, we saw a little bit of your character, but season three, we got an entire episode that dove into your character. We saw more of your motives. And we're like, by the end of it, you know, I just did a rewatch on it just the other day. And by the end of it, I told myself, I'm like, you know, you really start to feel pity for your character. What was that like, though, like going from season one to season two to now having a massive role in season three, having your own dedicated episode? Like, did you know all that entering in? Like, what was that like for you?
No, I didn't know. Like the first season, I may have worked like 4 days. Second season, I may have worked like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in season three, I got this email from my agent saying, hey, these are the days for so-and-so episode. And then he listed 19 days. And I was like, is this like the days for the entire episode? And like, I'm going to be like in one or two of these days. He's like, no, these are your work days. And I'm like, these are all work days for one episode? Like, he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, shoot, that is about something big is about to happen. And then I got the script. And again, they took out the parts that I'm not in, like the beginning Mando stuff and the end Mando stuff. So I got 35 pages of this script that was, you know, Dr. Pershing and Ilya Kane centric. And I read it. And as soon as I finished reading it, I ran to the bathroom and had to release. Like, it was just so much so much, it felt so much pressure and nerves and excitement and anxiety all at the same time. But it, I was just so excited about it. And I, you know, I had a conversation with Isaac, who was the director, mm-hmm. and with Katie, and we met over Zoom. This was all while I was shooting Fear the Walking Dead. So I was in Austin. And we just kind of talked through the script. And once I realized I was in good hands, and all that anxiety and that pressure was released. And it was just, I was left with nothing but excitement.
Of course. I mean, geez, that's so magical though, especially. And you know, like one thing I really loved about that episode was that you actually got to see the dynamic between you and Katie's, you know, character a lot. Except for the end, you know, which, I was going to ask you, you developed a close friendship with her because you guys have gone to tons of conventions together as well, right?
We've gone to a bunch of conventions. But yeah, aside from that, we go on hikes, we hang out.
Oh, that's great.
She is, you know, one of my dearest friends, and I'm just grateful. It doesn't always work out that way where, it gets very intimate for a short amount of time and then everybody goes their own ways. And so far that has not been the case. And I hope that she's part of my life for the rest of my life, you know, whether we work together or not, you know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you've gone, so now that you've been in the Star Wars universe for 4 years now, roughly.
Yeah.
You've obviously gone to a lot of conventions in which, you know, I got the chance to meet you last month. Have you ever had any special moments from these conventions? And have you ever, you know, was there anything that really stood out to you at, you know, when you attended these conventions?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say I love going to these fan conventions and getting to meet everybody. And everybody's so wonderful and sweet and kind. And even if they disagree with the episode itself, right? Mm. Even if it's not their jam, they're still kind about, like, you know, performance wise and this and that. That being said, and it's, you know, because of the role I played on American Gods, you know, I played a gay Muslim, you know, character. I've come across, especially these conventions, like I remember at my first one, Dragon Con, during COVID. I remember that, you know, people were coming to my line and, like, you know, going away, and, you know, I was doing my thing. And then I see this girl who's, like, just at the back, like standing against the wall, like not coming forward, and just looks like is in tears.
Aww.
And I was like, hey, like, after my line kind of died down, I was like, hey, are you okay? Like, she's like, she's like, I can't believe, like, I'm so excited to meet you. And her body wasn't responding to that moment.
Yeah.
Like, it was overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, oh no, I'm just a human being just like you are. And I gave her a big hug.
Aww.
And we hugged her a little bit. And just when you realize how you can move people and you can touch people's life and affect people with, you know, with certain performances.
Yeah.
And listen, I'll be honest with you, I act for very selfish reasons. I act because I love to act.
Yeah.
I love to look at the world through different lenses. I think it's fun as all hell. Like, the affecting people is a very secondary thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's the best part of it. It is, but it's not something I, you know, like, I'm just being honest. Like, I, when I go into a job, I don't think about how I'm going to affect people. I just think, like, how I'm going to do a good job on this performance. So getting to, it's such a treat when the work that you love to do affects people in such a way that, you know, that's, it's just emotionally moving. Like, and it's happened more than once, you know.
Yeah.
I remember one girl had Dr. Pershing as her, you know, wallpaper on her phone. My own wife doesn't even have that. Like, you know, like, how cool is that? I don't know. I think it's super cool.
Was acting always something you wanted to do growing up? Was that always your main passion? You did mention soccer.
Soccer was the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I think before I fully realized what it entails to be, you should know by 14 or not whether you're gonna be a professional soccer player.
Yeah.
But I broke my leg playing soccer.
Oh,
and
you?
In high school. Yeah. And that's why I had to take, like, a drama class instead of sports. And so that's how I found acting, was because I broke my leg in soccer. So
it's happened for a reason.
Yeah. But even when I took I was an advertising major in college, but I took acting classes and I had a double major in theater. Never once did I think I was going to actually become a professional actor. It was just, I was chasing this dream. I never thought I would catch it, you know?
But here you are now. So it's like,
Here I am now,
and
yeah,
you've been
20
doing,
years later.
I was gonna say, yeah, you've been in acting, if I'm not mistaken, since 2005, roughly.
2004
2004.
was my first job.
Right. Oh, that's incredible.
So it's been
So,
officially 20 years,
yeah. So obviously, like, now that, you know, the strike's over, Mandalorian season three is over, your character, you know, it left on a big cliffhanger. Obviously, you can only say so much. What can we expect now for the future of, you know, not only Dr. Pershing, if there is one, but what about the future of your acting career? Do you have any upcoming projects or anything fun coming up?
Well, I'll be first. I'll pr approach like I mean I'll answer the man like as far as Star Wars goes and The Mandalorian goes. I don't have any information. You know, they're not very giving when it comes to like letting you know whether you're going to be coming back or not. So I don't know. You know, I think there's a bigger likelihood I would come back for another season of Mandalorian than there is me being in the movie. I
The
think
movie, yeah.
for you to be able to continue telling the Dr. Pershing story, it would require some time and space. I don't know if they have that in the movie, right? So for me personally, I'm just grateful for what I had and I move on. And should they call me, I will come running, you know,
Yeah,
back
of
to
course.
set. But to answer your other question, yeah, I was just recently on the latest season of The Boys.
You were?
And I think a lot of people picked up on the fact that I was again working for Giancarlo Esposito, as again as a morally gray scientist who does experiments on cute little furry things. But at least you know, this Dr. Shaw had a little bit more fight in him. So that was a great experience working on The Boys. But aside from that, I don't know. I'm a free agent and you're kind of looking for the next gig. So
Of course, yeah.
we'll see where life takes me.
Oh, of course. So now I got just a little bit of spicy questions for you. This is a little bit hot topic ones. Who is your favorite character in Star Wars and why?
Easily Anakin. Because it's the most fleshed out character in the entirety of the universe. Because, you know, I saw these movies like back to back to back to back, and you see him in the prequels as a kid. Well, I saw it in the chronological order that it came out.
So you watch
Like,
four,
so
five, six
I
first,
start
right?
4, 5, 6,
Right.
and I remember really rooting for Darth Vader to have a soft side.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, come on, you can't, he's your son, you can't do this, you
Yeah.
can't be this cruel.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he takes off his helmet and he shows a glimmer of who we come to find that he was in the prequels. And so I just love how, because so many times these characters pop out and pop up in and out of these movies and you don't get to know them in their entirety. And I felt like
Yeah.
Anakin, I knew Anakin, you grew up and you loved him as a kid, and then he turned bad, and then you're still rooting for him to find his inner like good side. And it was just, I don't know. So for me, that's the character that sticks out for me.
I think one of the coolest things, and I'm sure like you can relate to this now being a part of The Mandalorian, when you look at Mando, when you look at Din Djarin, right? Obviously he's not, you know, you talk about his voice and all that stuff, but he's not really speaking a whole lot. He is type kind of quiet. A lot of his facial expressions are through his, you know, his head movement. And you know, when he's emotional, he'll just, you know, tilt his head a little bit. And I feel like with Vader, Anakin, episode 4 and 5, there's no churning him. He's fully corrupted, he's evil. But then episode 6, you start seeing, you know, when he holds Luke's lightsaber, you know, you see his him tilt his head a little bit. You see these soft sides. And I
This
think
glimmer of
that's
hope, yeah.
exactly. And so by the end, when it, you know, when it the mask is fully off, it's like, you know, like his family, his son is the one who truly saved him. It is really beautiful though. It's the story of Star Wars. So that's your favorite character. What about your favorite movie?
I think it was like, I love the OG stuff,
Yeah.
but I think like as a standalone movie, Rogue One was my favorite.
Rogue One. Wow.
Yeah, I remember watching and I was like, whoa, that one hit different. It was its own self-contained thing, and I loved it, and I loved the performances in it and the cinematography and the look of it. That, and then I also loved Revenge of the Sith, like the scene on Mustafar between
Of
Obi-Wan
course, of
and
course.
Anakin when he's like, I loved you, and you know, just crush
Yeah.
me, you know. Yeah.
Well, you actually had a scene in the Opera House.
Yeah.
Like that
It was
was so
more of a
cool.
warehouse, but yeah, it's an opera house after post was done. Yeah.
When I saw it on screen, I was just like, like they're actually bringing this back. Like we're in 2023 it was. I'm like, we're seeing Coruscant, like the opera house. I thought that was so cool. What like did you so you did you know that was going to be like the opera house scene, that one same one that was in Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, so I don't know if you know this. They for every episode they do an entire previs. Like it looks like almost like the animated, like a very basic animated version of Mandalorian.
Right,
So they
yeah.
have all their shots, all their the settings. And so like I got to see this previs. So like
Yeah.
I knew in my head what it was gonna look like.
Yeah.
And but this opera house wasn't on the volume, so I couldn't see anything. I was on just a little elevated platform with a blue screen behind me and like
Yes.
three extras that they kept moving around. And so I had to give this speech to three people like at 20 times, and I had to keep turning around to do it because they
Yeah.
wanted to get every side of it. But that being said, like I did it 20 times and I maybe messed up once because I knew it so well. And it was just, yeah, I knew the significance of the opera house.
Yeah.
And I was so curious how it all was going to come together, and I couldn't have been more happy with it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like being a giant hologram on screen. That's pretty awesome.
I have to laugh when you say, like, oh, yeah, I said it in front of three people. And then you look at the episode and it's like, it's just like a few million, 100,000 people,
Yeah,
300,000
there was three
people.
people there. Like, if you were to focus on those three
Yeah.
people, but in my mind, when I was giving the speech, I had the thousands of people all around me.
And then you're there, like, oh, that's where Palpatine's. Oh, Darth Plagueis the Wise, it was up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Would you say, like, because you mentioned like you only messed up, one time, you only had to re-record it one time. Was like, would you say acting in Star Wars has been different than anything you've experienced before? Because it's obviously like, it's science fiction. What would
Yeah.
separate Star Wars?
It's funny. Like, I think it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think the language is a little bit different. There's less like slang, and there's less like, like especially when you're playing an imperial officer, they're very like they tend to be black and white. But I remember like during the scene where I get my mind flayed,
Yeah.
I've played in much more grittier R-rated things. I've played terrorists who have been tortured, and so my go-to is knowing how to really authentically look like you're being tortured.
Yeah.
And so one thing I was trying to figure out was, because it's Star Wars, it's still like it's a family show at the end of the day,
Yeah.
and we want you have to hold back about going full dark,
Yeah.
like and I remember Dean was the cinematographer. He's done like Jurassic Park, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
I think it's Cundy or Cudney, I forget. I don't know how to pronounce the last name, but he told me the story of like that character in Jurassic Park that got eaten by the raptors, the guy with the glasses,
Yeah.
and he had that scream he had to do.
Yeah. That was.
So yeah, so he so Dean was telling me like, and Steven Spielberg was like, after the first rehearsal, was like, "Hey man, I need you. That was an R-rated scream. I need you to give me a PG-rated scream." So,
Wow.
and so that kind of applied to like that scene. Like, so
Yeah.
I did have to hold back. Like,
Huh.
you're uncomfortable, and you did have to scream, but almost in a PG kind of way,
Yeah.
where it's not. So that's different. Yeah, different than what I'm used to. Like, different than the boys. Like,
100%.
so.
I mean that's what something George Lucas always spoke about. This is at the end of the day, it is designed for kids. It is for families.
It is, yeah, but I don't think you can. I think that can also be a trap for some people. Like, oh, I'm on Star Wars, better act like I'm on Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, I think
Yeah.
you got to be cognizant of the fact of what you're working in, but you can't
Yeah.
fall into that trap.
No, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with your acting, did you spend a lot of time with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni?
I mean, a lot, not. I mean, yes and no. Yeah,
Right.
they were always there. John was there every morning. I
Oh,
think by
yeah.
the time season three came around, Dave
Yeah.
was working on Ahsoka, and
Yeah.
so he would pop in and out.
Right.
But John was there every morning, making sure we understood the scene.
Yeah.
Technically, the directors understood the scene, the crew understood the scene. So yeah, I got to spend a little bit of time with him, but like I wouldn't say like we're uber close or anything like that. But for me, John Favreau is one of my favorite, as a fan, one of my favorite artists, storytellers, actors,
Yeah.
like Swingers to me was like my Bible of like coming to Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. So I can only imagine getting that phone call from him personally saying, it wasn't
the Star Wars part that excited me necessarily. It was just, John Favreau.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. Yeah. No, that's absolutely incredible. So Rogue One and Anakin. No, I love that. That's absolutely amazing. So, if one thing I really want to say, like, you know, before we wrap up, is there anything you want to share with Star Wars fans that are watching this right now?
I mean, listen, I just have this overall sense of gratitude for everything Star Wars, and Star Wars wouldn't be Star Wars without the fans. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing, especially these conventions, where Star Wars is being passed down from generation to generation. You have the grandpa or the grandmother and the grandson and the father, you know, and they all are Star Wars fans. And to see it get passed down, it's beautiful. And I know online things can seem pretty rough at times. Overall, from my experience, like in real life, there's nothing but beauty and support, and it's a great community from what I have experienced. Now, granted, I know I'm an actor and people smile when I show up and stuff like that. So I'm just very grateful for it. And thank you for letting me entertain you guys as best I could.
Well, thank you for coming on and thank you for chatting with us. It means so much to all of us, and may the force be with you.
cheers, may the force be with you.
Thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure.